Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, Cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Eight straight losses. Well, seven were at home.
Yeah, that's tough. It's challenging. What with the lack of palm trees and everything.
There you go again.
Yeah, there I go again.
Is it over? Already?
The palm tree thing?
The season.
Yeah.
11-18.
I mean, they're not buried because the division and the conference is just, you know, only a few games better than them, really. So,
do they need eight straight wins?
No, I don't think so. I think if they won like three in a row, it would start to get interesting again.
It's weird. It's not weird. It's not funny, but they have won three straight three times already.
Right.
And they're 11-18.
Yeah. 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 Thanksgiving came. We talked to Kevin Adams that Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. And, like, you know, the West Coast, they won all these different ways. B game, right? Like, Lindy, he's having an impact. And then this homestand came and went. And good Lord. I mean, I want to be better. I want to not fall for it. Again, like, I'm so eager for them to actually show progress and have some of the guys that they are believing in actually turn out to be really good that I fall for it every time. They win a few in a row. I think they look different.
It's, as I think of it, that's ironic to me because I'm the gullible one.
Yeah,
and when they were winning three straight in California, I'm like, yeah, they're not good enough. This is not a playoff team.
Yep,
there's not enough juice.
Yep.
And I don't know. I'm not looking to take a lap on that.
No, but it's fine. But I think we need to readjust our gullibility rate ratings because I think I'm fairly gullible when it comes to the Sabres.
Where I have been and am in part why I would have said that is I have for years had no faith that they would be proactive about it, about their shortcomings. That's it. And that determines for me, and I think for a lot of people, how much energy you want to devote to it as a fan. Because there's no reason that I know of, there's not enough of one anyway for me to think that it matters to ownership enough that anything would ever be done about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like when I say that, sometimes I feel like that's a little bit unfair because on any given day, they could make a move, they could do something that would make you feel like you'd have to eat some crow when they do it, but relative to the rest of the league, they're just not serious enough.
Yeah, pretty recent history tells you to stay on the spot where you don't expect them to do anything. It looks like something needs to be done, but they don't ever do it. Which is, I mean, aside from the losing and the half-empty building and the palm trees, maybe the most frustrating thing about them is that you just don't have any evidence, really, at least enough evidence. I mean, they did do some things to the roster in the summer, right? The bottom six is a very different-looking bottom six, and I kind of like what they did there. But there still just isn't enough up top. Mainly because young guys that they were counting on, you can even include Paterka in this. Like, I'm over here, he's gonna be the best player on the team, leading scorer, and he's been slumping for weeks. I mean, he scored the odd goal, but he just has not been what he looked like even at the start of the season. And Quinn has just turned into a sinkhole.
And this is Cousins last year into this year. And it just feels right to broad stroke it, you know, to think that there's some bigger cause that why would the Sabres time after time have pretty much universally agreed upon good young talent that just sort of fizzles? Like what is it that makes that happen? In every case, no, not in every case, but with Eichel for a while there, we're like, why isn't this better? Like, why isn't this meaning more? You know, Reinhardt, I would get frustrated because I would end up in arguments about whether he was good, right? And like, of course he was good. And these guys may all go to other teams, like the sort of the rite of passage for the Sabres, and be their best. But here, it makes you wonder if everybody, you know, the players, if everybody is just demoralized, so convinced that, I don't want to say like it's not worth their best effort, because I really do think professional athletes tend to give their best effort. But there still has to be a belief that can elevate the group, individuals, and then the group in turn. And who has it? Like, who has that belief? And it doesn't seem like Lindy Ruff has instilled that, because, like, you have last night, and it just sounds like maybe a team that just came back from California, or maybe a team that's won five straight.
Right.
And, like, it's just flat. Why is it flat?
I've been thinking more and more about that. You know, I mean, it's one thing to just, you hear a lot, it starts at the top, you know, it starts at the top. And like, what does that mean? Like really examine what that means. That means that ownership is not, either they don't know what they're doing, or they're unwilling to do what is necessary, what other teams, what other organizations might be doing in order to facilitate a winning team and fill in the holes. Like, look at your roster objectively and recognize where you need help and go find ways to patch that and use all your resources. And that mostly includes, in this instance, the money.
That's what they don't do.
That you have at your disposal. And that is absolutely what they don't do. And so I think, I wonder a lot. Like, I don't want to make assumptions, and so I'm reluctant to say things that would be assumptions on the radio about why everyone over there is maybe some version of Ryan O'Reilly. Like, deep down inside, they just don't feel like they have it. Like Oposo said, like before this time last year, we knew, he didn't say it then, but he said it later, that we knew by November we didn't have it, and they did nothing about it. They didn't do anything, including the coach last year. So that's the kind of thing that gives you no reason to think that they're gonna do what needs to be done. And so I think a player, as handsomely as they're paid and as great as the life should be, like, are you digging in as hard as you can for this organization when you might have very good reason to believe, whether you've been there for 5 months or you've been here for 5 years, you might have good reason to believe, like, well, there's a cap on how far we're willing to go. And I don't know, that doesn't have to, like, across the board make guys not empty the tank regularly. But I think it can, even subconsciously. Guys might not even tell you straight up, to being totally honest, like, I'm giving you everything I can. Sometimes you don't know you got more. Like, someone's got to make you want to dig in and find it. And I just think playing for this team, and, you know, the league is, sure, there's rivalries and there's animosity between teams and different players, but a lot of it is one big club. And if you think, like, Casey Mittelstadt rolls into town and has dinner with everybody or some guys before that game a couple Tuesdays ago, and isn't telling them what life is like on the other side of the boulder that chased Harrison Ford through the cave, I mean, I would just think, respectfully, guys would talk about, like, you should see what it's like over here. And I think that can make you feel like you're disadvantaged, even though you have a chef making all your meals when you show up for the morning skate or whatever. Like, all the conveniences they have.
Yeah, but which teams don't have that?
Right. That's just it. What they don't have is that extra layer of belief and commitment in ownership and management that they're going to help them pull the thing over the hill. And, again, I don't know any of this to be absolutely true. I don't know what Casey Mittelstadt would have told him. You could tell him it's horrible in Colorado for all I know. But I kind of doubt it.
I do too.
But maybe. So I just feel like guys might just, great, I signed my 7-year deal. I'm getting paid like crazy. And now I'm stuck here. I'm stuck here. I'm never going to win. And it's, you know, that I don't want to go so far as to make that an absolute eraser of an excuse for players not putting forth maximum effort. But when you hear someone just casually call the radio show or post online, it starts at the top, that's what that means. It's not that Terry Pegula is walking around the arena wreaking havoc. It's more that they're not, I don't think they feel tended to. There is not a deep staff of people helping Kevin Adams. There's not a deep staff of people helping player development. There's just not a lot of anything. And it can just make you feel pretty lonely, I think, if you're a player. Again, even with, you know, because you're evaluating life like amongst your peers. And I think the Sabres' reputation right now for all the stuff I'm talking about almost has to be terrible. And then you get to the fight they picked with Eichel about the medical treatment. And again, look, we all picked our sides there. And most of us picked the Sabre side because we love the Sabres. And Jack was miserable and wanted to leave just like everybody else does. And so he's the villain here. But ultimately, I don't know how much we talked about the damage that they could be doing to their reputation organizationally by picking that fight with him. But I don't think, I think of all the things that I'm saying here, that's the single biggest problem with guys not wanting to come here. Well, why would you try if you're in Carolina, Martin Nikesh, and you have a no trade, and they want to come here and they're willing to pay you, but you know that they did not let Eichel take care of himself the way he thought was best to take care of himself, and you have 30 other teams you could play for besides Carolina and Buffalo. Why would you say yeah? I mean, I just don't know why you would ever do that.
I mean, we all know the history. And I think it could be Eichel for somebody. It could be something else for the next guy. You have, oh man, you have 20 guys and what are they're around 25 years old. And what in their lives are the Sabres known for? If they're older, they're old enough to remember Hasek forcing his way out. Like a guy in his early 30s might remember that. You know, like that might be the first thing they ever knew about the Buffalo Sabres is Hasek, the Hart Trophy winner, so good as a goalie to win the MVP of the league twice. Nah, then he wins the Stanley Cup immediately for Detroit. Bankruptcy, 506-607, our glory days with the Sabres. How does it end? The two stars of the team took off. They didn't believe in it. And they got paid better, and they left. And so that happened. And the Sabres have almost never been to the playoffs since. Eichel, Reinhart, O'Reilly, they all leave. They all immediately win cups. I mean, how much more embarrassing could it be? And not everything that's gone wrong for the Sabres is necessarily their fault. But it's just a succession of good to great players who are remembered for getting out of here and immediately succeeding. I mean, Drury and Briere didn't exactly. Briere went to the finals. But still, you know, like that, that's the reputation. And, you know, Adams gets raked over the coals for the palm trees point, which I think the worst thing about it is that you need him to be an advocate for this. He's just being real, you know? I mean, people on these, the Bills and Sabres over the years in management have said that kind of thing privately. Many, like, this is really hard to recruit players to this town for different reasons, but you don't really want to say it publicly because it looks bad to your fans, if not to the league. So they do have challenges, and with each one of these, it's amazing this team's history. I mean, it's kind of almost their entire history is guys, you know, wanting just it was better somewhere else. Almost the entire history of the Sabres mm-hmm. is it was better somewhere else for guys who ended up having to leave. And I don't know. I don't want to think it's just you can't recover from it ever necessarily. There's no way to dig out because it's still a sport. The system is built to help you if you're bad. And there is a salary cap. Good thing, I guess, or else, I mean, the team is probably not existent anymore.
Yeah, that's probably right.
I don't know. Like, it is obviously not an easy answer, but it just hasn't felt since way before COVID that this is like a serious franchise.
Right.
Bottom line.
Right. And, you know, again, if you're a player on it, how does that feel? How does that land on you? I'm sure it's different for all kind. You know, you can watch games and every night pick out guys that look like they're absolutely dying. Benson last night looked like he would do anything to win a hockey game to me. But you know, one dude. I don't know. I don't know how urgently other guy. And I don't even you know maybe that's just a bad read by me. I don't know. He could be as disenchanted about everything as everyone else. But you know, the younger you are, maybe the more you still are trying to at least get to where they want to pay you for 7 years and $7 million or something. So you've got that individually to still go after. You know, personal pride and all that. The reputation of the franchise, the thing to me, like everything that we're talking about here, it starts from the top. The whole speech there about what that means, at least in my opinion, like the palm trees and taxes comment. Of course, Kevin Adams is not going to tell you all the things that I said just now at a news conference. He'd be insane to do that. But the palm trees and taxes, if you believe any of what I'm saying, I think their problem is reputation wise. The palm trees and taxes just sounds like the weakest ass excuse you've ever heard. Because, I mean, you said it the other day, Winnipeg, Minnesota, New Jersey, like these are places that aren't great places. I mean, New Jersey's close to New York. Okay, great. But they don't have all that. They got taxes. They have cold. Canada. Fine. No problem.
I was just in Canada. It was so cold.
Yeah, it's so cold.
Recently.
It's pretty cold
not
here.
Not that long ago. So cold there.
So that's why, like, I appreciate the challenges that Adams has in front of him, but you should never tell the world about them because your team is going to hear it too. And
how have they done since?
Right. I get, you know, so, oh, he's supposed to fire them up? No. He's not supposed to fire them up, but what he's not supposed to do is intentionally demoralize them. Basically, like, stop me if I'm wrong here. I can't get guys to come here because of this and this and this. I had a great trade lined up. You guys would have killed me for how much I was going to pay for it. So you're telling the room full of guys, you're not good enough. I want to get better players, but I can't, so I'm stuck with you. Like, that is a way to take, I mean, it's extreme, I admit, but, you know, it's talk radio. That's a way to interpret what Adams said mm-hmm. at a microphone last Friday. You're not good enough. If I could get better guys, I would, but I can't.
Right.
Go get them. What?
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3 Sabres.
Yeah, like, what?
They should try that, actually. 1, 2, 3 Sabres. I don't know if they do that. Yeah, I think you make a lot of sense.
I just it's a very frustrating thing, and I just don't I don't know I don't know where it goes from here. They probably win a couple that we don't think they're gonna win. Like I don't know, maybe they sweep this weekend. I don't know.
That always happens.
Yeah, right. But it just. It's been so many times over. Paul is talking like this and has talked like this for many years already. Like, I think this is who they are. And he's on that train again. Like, it's not going to, like, this group of guys is not going to suddenly figure out how to not get tense when it's 2-1 with 6 minutes to go.
Well, listen, I mean, I don't particularly, there are threads through the history of the Sabres. Management is most of it. But I don't buy that what they were 7 years ago means anything to like the mental toughness of the group. I think there is sort of a buy-in, but I don't think it individually means anything to the current players what the players 10 years ago, you know, like,
sure.
I don't have any use for that, but there should be a point in here about talent, because part of the buy-in is having enough good players where if you're a Thompson or, you know, one of Paterka, it really shouldn't always be up to you to win the day. Like, you want to be on a team where other guys can do it, obviously, where there's like enough mm-hmm. depth and talent. And, you know, these are one goal games. Most of these losses, five or six of them, have been one goal games. And, you know, you don't have Dahlin either for several of them. That's huge. I mean, he's the best guy on the team. He's not there. And there just isn't enough. And I think many times we confuse effort, you know, dedication, commitment, effort with talent. You talk about belief, that's part of it. You know, am I good enough? Are we good enough? Do I believe in the rest of the players, you know, to a point where what you just sort of, you'd love to have it happen organically like happened in 2006, but that's pretty rare. And there's just been either in the Eichel years, too big of a drop-off from the top guys to the bottom guys, where the bottom guys are getting run over and you're losing games, to whatever this is, you know? I think forwards and defense are just kind of capped. When you have a couple big injuries, it shows. So that's part of it, too. It just doesn't feel sufficient to say, like, oh, well, they're not trying, because they know that it's a losing organization, mm-hmm. as it has been in the entirety of their memories. And almost their existence, the team's existence. But, you know, you need somebody to score that goal, you know, last night, or make that save against Detroit. And they don't have enough of it.
Right.
Which gets me back to what extent are they going at their absolute hardest Pegula to put together a winning team? Are we too sentimental? Are we too indifferent? Are we too involved? You know, different. There's different theories about it all. He's obviously not, you know, out front. He's really never been inclined to be out front.
The owner we're talking about.
Yes.
Yes, sure.
You know, you handle it.
Right.
And I don't know, it's bad. It's bad. Well, anyway, happy holidays. We've got our party tonight. I'm excited. I brought a change of clothes even. That's rare. Why would I ever do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Did you?
No,
you're rocking.
I got my best flannel on here.
Your best flannel.
My go-to
love
flannel.
It. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. We've got listeners on hold to talk about the state of the Sabres. We'll do plenty of football today. Joe Ostrowski at 4, all times Eastern. Sal Capaccio at 5. I'm just noticing now, I'm looking at yesterday's show. I was out the door yesterday when I took sick, and like, oh, this is everything I wrote down yesterday. So maybe we'll get to that. Or maybe you already did yesterday. Maybe you had the same thoughts.
No.
Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
It is really tough. Like I said, we're not going to sit here and have a pity party. We're going to move on. We have to move on. We're not going to sit here and go into a shell and say, oh, the season's over, because it's not. It's far from over. We have a lot of games left. We have a lot of opportunities to win a lot of hockey games. We got to be really good on the road for the next little bit here. And whenever we do come back at home, we got to be a lot better.
Part of the soup with the Sabres, all the different theories about motivation and commitment and everything, is that the energy in the building is just so negative, and that is not the fans' fault. But you and I were in there for the Detroit game, and the booing would just be like, who is motivated by that? You know, like,
yeah.
It's how it goes. It's how it goes. Fans boo at sporting events when this is happening. But, man, my reaction would be, oh, yeah?
Right.
Really? I mean, it would just be the absolute worst thing to get me going.
You think this is bad?
Right.
Wait till you see me in the third period.
Right. I just would hate it so much.
I'd be chain-smoking unfiltered Marlboros during the second intermission. Wait till you see me in the third.
I'd immediately be like, go Red Wings. Here's Jeff on WGR. Hi, Jeff. Jeff?
Real quick, if I could start from the top real quick. to Pegula's, I just don't think he knows what to spend his money on. And when you say, well, he's not out front, isn't that sort of a good thing? Because most of the time you get those meddling owners, and that doesn't make for a good potion. As far as Adams goes, unfortunately, the Sabres got to do it. They got to cut ties with the guy. If you look at the roster he's built, and I understand young players and in the chain and coming up through the, you know, the system and so on and so forth, but if you look at hockey teams, successful hockey teams, you got that gritty veteran winger. You got a couple of real defensemen who aren't offensive. How many offensive defensemen can we have? It's just a point of, I think, the chemistry in the team as far as, like you say, being sentimental, and they fall in love with these players, give them big contracts, and then, you know what, like you said, I got paid, and, well, you know, I can't be a superstar by myself and win it all the time in Cage Thompson's, in, you know, or Paterka. But at the same time, they are getting paid, and they have to produce. I just think when you look at from the top down, I don't think there's anything wrong with the way Pegula does it. Hey, I'm paying you. You make the decisions, and that's the way it goes. Adams, I just think that this whole Sabres, he was in the organization, he was in the chain, and so on. Last time we had anybody outside the organization is like a president of hockey operations, does it all, hires a general manager, hires a coach, so on and so forth. I think Pat LaFontaine, again, Sabres crony, had that job for like 2-3 days, and that's the last time we had a president of hockey operations.
And what even was his credibility, or what were his credentials? He was a great player who the fans loved. He had no... I made the point recently, thanks, Jeff, how, like, who's the last Sabres GM to get another job at that level? And it's like Muckler, right? If he even did, with Ottawa, I guess he did. Mm-hmm. Who was the last Sabres GM to have been a GM beforehand? You have to go before him, I think. Scotty? Have the Sabres ever had a general manager who'd previously been an NHL general manager?
Punch.
Has the show... Punch?
Kids, let me tell you a story about Punch Imlach and his hats.
Is that seriously right, maybe?
It might be. I'd have to, you know, dig through, like, each guy and, like, what, but...
Coach or GM...
It could be right.
Coach or GM, rarely have the Sabres made a hire that would have that sort of automatic credibility as somebody who is a proven success in the league, even if it's just once. It's just rare. Lindy Ruff, due respect, it came with an asterisk because that even he was, he's ours again. He's back. You know, that was the, how it was sold. Mm-hmm. He's back. And there were, every year there've been, there always are in hockey, these veteran coaches or even GMs who bounce around and they get fired because other teams make moves and they're just sitting there. And the Sabres, either for a lack of trying or at least success, have never been able or willing to bring this type of candidate in.
I mean, I think Jeff is correct to say, you know, pay your people and stay out of it. But are you paying top dollar for the best people? And do you have enough of them? Is there enough support around Adams, a brand new GM, who basically, I think, got the job out of convenience because he was here and Pegula wanted to fire a bunch of people. And I don't know, I think it's right to say Botterill didn't want to, and that's why he got fired. Like, we're in a pandemic. I don't want to fire a bunch of people and take their health insurance away. And like, well, that's okay. You don't work here anymore. Let me hire someone who will do that for me. And then a bunch of people got fired and Kevin Adams had the job. And here we are. So, sure, the methodology is not necessarily flawed, that Pegula is not walking around the dressing room asking how sharp guys' skates are or anything. Good. But you got to give out more. I think their commitment, I mean, they must be, I can't even fathom. It's been years because, you know, Pegulas are so wealthy. You know, the Bills just print money and, you know, so they're established in the region because of the Bills, even though they own the Sabres first. You just don't have, I just don't think we really think about what the books must look like there. I mean, the NHL teams depend on, like, if he's treating the Sabres as like this is over here, and the losses must be staggering. Teams in that league used to lose $15, $20 million a year when their buildings looked like the Sabres building looks regularly. Ticket sales is still, even though the TV stuff is better because ESPN is back and whatever, there's still not enough. You need gate. And this team, when's the last time this team regularly had a gate? Like, it was like this before the pandemic, right? I'm trying to remember, right? It was. So we're working on five seasons of, you know, 13,000 is a good night. I mean, I don't know. I just think that's really tough. So I guess on one hand, I understand his reluctance because it must feel like a sinkhole at this point. But once you stop pouring everything you can into it because of that, I think we're circling back to my whole speech about it starts at the top. Like, what kind of commitment is there, and how cognizant and aware of that are the players?
I think they, of course, are cognizant of it. They've known it forever. Anybody in the league would know it. Just what I mean, they might not everywhere know the stats, you know, the payroll rankings, things like that with the Sabres, but these guys all would. And that only reflects one thing. We don't spend as much as the other teams. And that's always been true of the Sabres, but this was the owner who said it would be different. And it's many years ago now, but it is so not different. Jeff is next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Back-to-back Jeffs.
I think all the points made are very relevant and to the point. A couple of things. First of all, pile on Adams. Yeah, I mean, look what his last job was. He was running Harbor Center, basically scheduling ice time. And we bring him in as a general manager, which to me was a head-scratcher from day one. Secondarily, I think Lindy made a tactical error in retaining that entire coaching staff. They're still playing a lot of Granato-type hockey. I mean, you watch the power play. It's they're always trying to carry the puck over the blue line. Instead of getting in tough, dumping a puck in and trying to come up and make a play. And it's reflected in their forechecking style. It reminds me of Granato hockey. And we're to the point where change has to be made and players have to move. And the last point I quickly want to make, and I've thought about this for quite a few weeks, and Paul Hamilton brought it up on one of the pregames a show or two ago. Cousins, he's not been the same guy, man, since Garnett Hathaway cleaned his clock. And when was that? October, November?
That was October of last season. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's lost his swagger. He's lost something. He's a young kid. He got rattled, and he got clocked.
Yeah.
And he's not the same guy. And at this point in his career, I think he should just, and coaching should just look at playing him on the wing. He does not have the genes to play center anymore. It's not in him.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. I this came up. I think I mentioned this to my son watching the Red Wings game with you in the suite. They're like, did Garnett Hathaway like steal Dylan Cousins' soul? Did he take his superpower away or something? I mean, it fits a narrative because Cousins, it was early enough last year that we didn't know or suspect that he was going to fall off a cliff, and then he fell off a cliff. He might have been destined to fall off the cliff anyway. I don't know. But, you know, different people, you'd have to really know him, and he'd have to really want to tell you if he even knows. But there's a connection that you can easily make there. I made it, I'm admitting, on Monday night with my son. So I don't know how sticky that really is, if at all, but it's, you know, it's a thing to say at a cocktail party. Like, I think that guy kicked his ass and he's not been the same. Yeah, maybe. I just the coaching staff part. I don't know definitively how that all went down. But given their history, given how they've handled money, if the assistant coaches we're all under contract for another season and do that money, I don't think it's out of line at all to suspect that ownership went, okay, if you want to fire Granato, you can fire Granato. Well, I'll eat that. I'm not eating three assistant coach salaries or however many there were.
I would assume that that's what happened.
So, you know, I don't know how much of a choice Lindy had in it. It might have been like, would you like to, we'd like you to come do this, but we kind of need you to do it with these guys. And, you know,
we don't even need you to build a staff, Lindy.
Right. It's all here.
It's all set up.
And, you know, if indeed that's what happened, that's, I don't know, maybe a new low.
It's minor league.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't have, we don't know that you're saying it too. I don't know either that
right.
That's what happened. It's just what I would assume. It's the Sabres.
But again, a player on the team was there all through Granato's tenure. Granato's getting fired, ringing in new Lindy Ruff, accountability, but, you know, here's all the same guys running the power play. Like, you're a player on the team. Like, you work in the NHL. You have your peers all work in the NHL as players. And they've seen coaching staffs get fired, and they've all given the speech about how we feel terrible because it's our fault and all that stuff. But when does it happen that the head coach gets canned and the assistants of terrible units all get to stay, or most of them get to stay? I mean, the only elevation there was Appert, and he was already in the organization too. And I got nothing against him, but...
But what does he...
Right.
What does he fix?
The whole thing just smacks of, we get Lindy Ruff at the front of this, we'll be fine. Because fans will smile about it. Because Lindy, you know, what did I say when he got hired? It's like, the last thing I want is for this to stain him. Like, we remember Lindy fondly. He got fired. It was coming. It was warranted when it finally happened. He had an incredible run here. And we very fondly recall him as a player and a coach of those great teams. This stink is starting to get on him now. Because he's here. He was, you know, he keeps saying, it's my job to fix it. I got to make sure, you know, this doesn't snowball. That was like three losses in a row ago. Four. I mean, we're up to eight.
Eight.
With Washington and Toronto, two of the two top teams in the East. I gotta look at the stand. I think Washington might be first in the East, and Toronto is maybe third, fourth, whatever.
Close enough.
Terrible. Wow. Good luck.
Hey, for those of you who are just sort of worried, boy, this is really depressing stuff. Mike's Fresh Picks in an hour.
Thank God.
It's still an hour, but
never been more ready for some fresh picks.
We're gonna turn some things around here. Fantasy playoffs. Tonight, Rams, Niners. The Rams, maybe not so fresh off their win over the Bills Thursday night on the road. Fun matchup. We'll talk to Joe Ostrowski coming up in less than 20 minutes. Sal will join us later as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Week 15 in the NFL kicks off tonight. Rams, Niners. Joe Ostrowski will set things up for us. Look at some awards races as we often do with Joe. That'll be coming up just after 4 tomorrow, Sam Paniatovich, Tyler Dunn, and I'm sure Sal will
weasel,
pay a visit.
Weasel, no, that sounds bad. Weasel his way in. Sounds like we wouldn't want him.
Yeah, that's not usually how it goes, where Sal doesn't usually call us.
Get me on the radio, guys.
Yeah, no.
I'm not getting enough exposure, and I need more time. Yeah, so.
No.
He'll find his way into the show.
We'll ask him, and hopefully he'll say yes.
Yes, that's exactly how it will go.
What happened today.
Precisely.
Right. And maybe yesterday, although I wouldn't know.
You actually set him up. You were
oh, right.
You were a go far enough into the day that you...
See,
right. The last word I heard from you before you got sick was Sal at 4. I'm like, great.
Yeah. Well, it was late and luckily brief.
A late scratch.
Late scratch. Did something happen to DeMar Hamlin today? He was full yesterday, but now he's on the injury report. They did not really practice, but he would have been a DNP apparently. And I think I saw two injuries.
Yeah, back and ribs.
Back and ribs.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I asked Sal yesterday with Hamlin was not on, like you said, he was a full participant in a walkthrough yesterday. So he didn't even come up yesterday. I asked because Douglas was a DNP as well as Taylor Rapp, the other starting safety along with Hamlin. So I asked Sal, like, okay, are we all ready to break glass in case of emergency Micah Hyde time? He's like, I kind of doubt it. It's just there just has not been enough time for him to really ramp up and get ready. So there's another Kareem Jackson, I guess, another safety on the practice squad, Cole Bishop. But I don't know. I mean, and it's not to assume these guys won't be able to play. But the Hamlin on top of Rapp sort of makes me want to ask Sal again today in a little while. Micah Hyde. I think it's still going to be the same answer because Kareem Jackson is still there if they want to do that. But doesn't, you know, they could be down three-fourths of their Taron Johnson counts as a starter too, but whatever. They could be down a starting corner and two starting safeties against the Detroit Lions. That doesn't sound great.
Bishop is kind of nowhere, isn't he?
Yep.
You know, second round pick. You were excited about him.
I was excited about him. Really, yeah. He got torched on the long one in that Houston game, and has played.
That's the last time he's played much at all.
Right.
Played every snap against Houston, and he's played 9 since.
Mm.
On defense.
Yeah. So that has not gone like I was hoping. I thought second round pick, he'll be playing ahead of somebody by now.
He has not played a single defensive snap since Indianapolis. And, you know, that Niner game wasn't close. But he did have a forced fumble in that game. On the Debo.
That
would have been on Debo because he didn't play a single snap on defense. So I wonder how they think that is going. Doesn't have to be bad, but he's not making any impact this season. We have not properly saluted, unless you did it yesterday, friend of the show, Dave Parker.
No, we did.
Cooperstown.
Did not. Yes. The Cobra.
Love it.
Cooperstown Cobra.
Love it. He was on with us once. Why? Book?
Pork rinds? No.
No, it wasn't pork rinds. Do you have a book, Dave Parker?
I don't remember how that came together. One of those deals, you got an email and said, do you want to talk to Dave Parker? Like, yeah, respond to that.
It.
Yeah, like, definitely talk to Dave Parker.
Yep.
But I do not remember what was behind it.
Well, I'm excited about that. Was a fan. He played a long time, even with Toronto for a minute at the end of his career, but most famous for playing for the Pirates in a great era, 79 Pirates. Joe Ostrowski after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.